Your Locked On Canadiens, your daily podcast on the Montreal Canadiens. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 426 of Locked On Canadiens. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. I am one of your hosts. I am Scott Matlin, and I'm joined, as always, by the active stick, Laura Saba. Laura, it has been a very busy, hectic day across the board. How are you doing so far today?
I'm doing really well, and I would like to shout out some listeners. I've had some very great interactions on Instagram and Twitter, and people have been sending me private messages and replying to me in support of what I said yesterday on the podcast about Logan Mailloux. Now, the Canadians did release a statement about all of this. Jeff Molson released a statement, and we aren't going to talk about it today because there was a really poignant question asked by one of our listeners, and we'd like to give it the time to answer his question and discuss our thoughts on what happened or the statement itself. And that's going to happen on tomorrow's episode. It is important, so we don't want to just brush by it and go get to the free agency signing. So we will talk about that tomorrow. And I want to just thank, you know, everybody who messaged me and sort of, you know, not just supported what I said, but the fact that it needed to be said. You know, I was talking on yesterday's episode that people keep negating it or diminishing it or minimizing it. And, you know, a bunch of people, and I want to say specifically men too, that said, no, you know what, you are right. And we will really get into that tomorrow and you know, what's going to happen next and whether redemption is possible. That's all tomorrow. I just want to say thanks to our listeners. We've had such great interaction and support from all of you, and I'm so, so grateful to you. And I'm also grateful that it's free agency day and we have things to talk about that are, I don't know, I guess there's positives and negatives, and it feels unfinished, doesn't it, Scott?
Yeah, so I guess we'll dive right in with the Canadians. I don't know if I want to call this the biggest splash of the day, but one that we knew was coming almost certainly based on the amount of insiders and reporters that talked about this. David Savard signed a four-year deal worth $3.5 million a year. So right away, great value on the contract. It's right in line with what they paid Ben Chiarot and what they paid Joel Edmondson for a similar type player, maybe a step slower. But the biggest thing for me about this deal is that Savard went, I was offered other deals, other places that might have been worth more money. And he turned that down to take a deal with the Canadians. This is a guy who wants to be here. He wants to be a Montreal Canadian. He's from just outside the city that I won't try to pronounce at the risk of offending all of our listeners. And to break it down, I wrote an article for Eyes on the Prize, which I'm sure some of you have read, and I will share it, and we will share it on Twitter tomorrow if someone asks. David Savard is not a full Shea Weber replacement. And I think that's a point that we need to make here. He is, however, going to eat up a ton of defensive zone minutes for this team. He's going to be a shot blocker. He's not going to be a puck mover. He's not going to score a ton. His offense is kind of evaporated. That's not what he's there for. But he's going to put his body on the line. He's going to bring the physicality. And from everyone I've talked to, from Columbus blogs to Lightning blogs to even my friend who used to work for the Blue Jackets organization when Savard was playing there, when he just got his start, he is an absolutely wonderful human being. The rooms have all loved him. And I know a lot of people are going to roll their eyes and go, oh, another defensive defenseman. It doesn't feel like this is the only major defensive move the Canadians might make. Mark Bergevin did mention that they're looking for a puck mover. Matthias Norlander is going to get a big look at training camp. Across the board, I was kind of worried when I saw it was a four-year term, but the money coming in at $3.5 million, considering what players like Cody Ceci and Tyson Barrie and other people got, makes me feel a lot better about this deal going or coming out of it than I did going into it today.
I'm also on the exact same page as you. I thought the money would be more given what we were hearing about other people. And this was obviously, we knew he was about to sign with the Canadians. We knew the talks were ongoing. We knew, you know, that we were waiting on confirmation basically. And I thought the money was better than I expected. The term was about what I expected, to be honest, because I feel like nowadays it's kind of, you either get a 1-year deal to prove yourself, or, you know, you have a 3 to 4 year deal if you're an okay player. And then, you know, you get like a lot of term if you're a much better than that player. I think that he's better than Cody Ceci. And I think the trick with defense, and I firmly and strongly believe this, is that it's not about who they are. It's about how they play and what load they're expected to carry. And exactly like you said, if we're expecting him to be Shea Weber, he's going to fail. If we're expecting Jeff Petrie to be Shea Weber, he's going to fail. I feel like what this does is it kind of solidifies the Jeff Petrie is going to obviously move up to the top defense person pairing, I guess. He's going to be the guy unless they find somebody better than Jeff Petrie. And so Savard will be tasked with eating up those minutes exactly like you said. And I do think it's like it's so much about how they use him, what load they expect of him, and who his defensive partner is, who they pair him with. Any critique that we've had about defensemen over the course of the last season or two that we've been talking, every single time when we talk about it, the answer often seems to be that either they're expected to do something that they're not actually good at, or they're being used incorrectly, or the person that they're paired with does not play to their strengths or highlight their strengths or shelter their weaknesses or whatever. So I really do think that I'm hopeful that the way that the team was played in the playoffs kind of informs their decision and the way that they coach and the way that they strategically use him. And if they do use him right, this could even look like a bargain. Like right now, to me, this seems like a solid signing based on what's available and what they need and the term and the money. It's like, it's solid. It's 100%. That's what I would say. But this could turn out to be a bargain if they use him correctly.
And that's the biggest thing. And we've talked about this a lot, and we're going to talk about this coming up in our next segment, is using a player correctly is going to be the biggest challenge this team has. And speaking of challenges, the team signed Mike Hoffman, and Laura and I are going to break down what the Canadians can do to get the best out of the high-scoring winger, and that's coming up next.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline.com. Get the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including the MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out the great sporting news, sign up for bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
So there's an ongoing trend where Marc Bergevin almost always eventually gets his guy. We saw it with Josh Anderson. We've seen it with Corey Perry. We've seen it now with Mike Hoffman. Sooner or later, Marc Bergevin gets the guy that he wanted after so long. He missed out on him last year. They ended up with Tyler Toffoli, which wasn't a bad thing. And Mike Hoffman ended up signing a 1-year deal with the St. Louis Blues. This year, there was a lot of Hoffman to Montreal rumors. I didn't really see how it fit too much, especially not knowing what was going to happen in expansion. And today the Canadians announced a 3-year, $4.5 million a season deal for the Montreal for Mike Hoffman. I should say, sorry, it's been a very long day and I clearly haven't had enough caffeine. And my first thought was, I know he's great on the power play, which is about all that I need to see that this is a good move for the Canadians. And looking into it a little bit deeper, the biggest challenge I think Montreal is going to have is that Mike Hoffman at 5-on-5 even strength isn't invisible, but he isn't nearly as effective and his defensive numbers aren't great. I was watching the TSM broadcast, and Ray Ferraro and Mike Johnson both made very good points. Ray Ferraro mentioned that if you want a guy who's going to grind and check, they sign the wrong guy. If you want a guy who's going to score goals on the power play and in the offensive zone, they sign the right guy. The biggest thing about this signing is Dominique Ducharme and the coaching staff need to get a line together that can either mask his deficiencies defensively or create a pure exploitation line where the Canadians can throw him out there and not have to worry about it. If the puck starts coming out of the zone, you get the hell off the ice and we put someone else out there kind of thing. He's got 30 plus goal talent. He scored 20 goals in every 82 game season he's played in. He had 17 last year in a regular year. He probably would have closed in on 30. Across the board, it's the kind of move that you want for a team that desperately needed offense and very much needed the help on the power play. They're missing Shea Weber. They needed another power play weapon. Cole Caulfield's great. Jeff Petrie's great. This adds another tool for them to play around with.
I agree. I don't think that the salary or term or anything is that big of a problem based on, you know, it's pretty economical if you look at it in context. And again, it's like the Savard deal. If you look at it in context, it's an economical deal. I do think that it, much like people have said, like he's not a play driver, really. This comes from, you know, both people that I've talked to on Twitter and we've talked about it privately as well. He's not that guy. And so if he's used correctly, that's great. It's a little bit, if you look at the full cap picture for the Canadians, I don't think that it's all that great because it would have been nice to get somebody a bit more versatile in the situation. But he is going to help offensively. I am a little bit worried because of the talk surrounding whether or not he's kind of a bully in the locker room or not. And they talked about, you know, this team is such a tight-knit group and that was the strength that carried them throughout the playoffs and all of that. So I'm a little bit concerned about that. But I also wonder also if it has anything to do with people drawing a line between the incident that happened with his wife in Ottawa. At the time, she was his girlfriend. And so I wonder, you know, obviously they're married, they were in a relationship and he stood up for her. And I wonder if that perception is clouded by that because his wife's actions were not, you know, they were bullying or alleged bullying. It has never been proven in court. And I really do wonder if that's it. I'm a little bit worried that it shakes up the locker room dynamic. Like I said before, I've said it before here and elsewhere, good locker room dynamic doesn't replace talent, but a bad locker room dynamic will dampen talent. It will counteract talent. It will cause problems. So I really, really hope that it's just this like perception that we have and it's not a real thing. And again, like people who are a bit more familiar with the situation and what he's like, from what I could tell, St. Louis fans are kind of bummed that he's not going to be there anymore. That 1 year deal that he signed to prove himself must have clicked with them. They must have liked what they saw with him. So I'm hoping for the best, but I'm very cautious about this signing because for all the reasons I just listed, like I'm not wholeheartedly like all for it. I think looking at his numbers and what he can do, I think it would be good in a vacuum. But when you add in that cap hit and you add in that potential locker room upset, then I'm a little bit worried.
Yeah, my biggest thing with this is that it is up to the coaching staff to get the best out of him. They have to know what kind of player they're getting here. They can't do what they did with Josh Anderson in the playoffs and put a guy who isn't a cycle player or a playmaker on a line that requires one of those. Hoffman's whole game is he can set up plays. He's not inept offensively outside of shooting. Let's, you know, make that very clear. But his whole talent is firing pucks into the back of the net. Set him up as your trigger man, and I think you're going to reap all the rewards in the world. Luckily, there's plenty of time. They've seen plenty of him in Ottawa to know what he can do. He should be a mainstay on the power play. He allows them flexibility. There's no reason why we should ever see a two defenseman power play out there again. I think he's going to be an asset, and 3-on-3 is one of those, not guys they put out there immediately, but someone they get on a change to kind of hit with certain passes to get in the offensive zone like Caulfield was. There's a lot to like about it, but the team needs to be careful on how they do things. And like Laura, you said, there is a dynamic here. I'm hoping he and his significant other have grown past that horrible bullying incident that happened in Ottawa with everything going on with that. And We follow the Habs player wives very closely. I don't think there's going to be any room for nonsense in there. If it starts to go bad, you're going to see Hoffman kicked out of town real fast here. I'm not anticipating it going that way, and I hope it doesn't. We do believe in growth and people having a chance to redeem themselves. And to get back to the on-ice thing here is that Hoffman's biggest thing is that put him in the spot to succeed. I thought a line with Nick Suzuki, Caulfield, and Hoffman on it would be an absolute riot. They can't play defense to save their lives right now, but at the same time, there's so much to love about that potential offense. And the Canadians did add more than Savard and Mike Hoffman did. They filled two other voids a little bit and then sprinkled in a little bit of depth. And Laura and I both don't think they're done quite yet. There are still needs that this team is looking for. And we're going to touch on all of those things coming up in our final segment.
With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto parts and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet for your vehicle. Whether it's your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts anywhere else? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
So to summarize the rest of the Canadiens day, the big moves were they landed David Savard, 4 years, $3.5 million, Mike Hoffman, 3 year, $4.5 million. And then they added Chris Weidman on a 1 year, $750,000 deal, league minimum. Jean-Sebastien D on a two-way contract. He's likely bound for Laval. He got a nice big AHL paycheck out of that. Louis Belpedio, signed to a two-way contract, and Cedric Paquette, a 1 year, $950,000 contract. All of these are depth moves. I don't anticipate any of them being huge factors in this team. I do imagine Cedric Paquette will be a fourth line staple, especially if Corey Perry isn't coming back, which the Canadians have offered Perry a deal, but they're waiting on his answer. Like I said, Jean-Sebastien D spent a lot of time in the AHL, spent some time in the NHL with the Sabres and with the Penguins. I fully anticipate him becoming the Jordan Wheel replacement for the Laval Rocket. And Belpedio, to me, screams, this is an emergency guy, an answer to losing Cale Fleury for the Rocket. Across the board, it's nothing fancy. It was a lot of small little moves. It makes the Rocket a lot better. And it gives them a little bit of depth. Chris Weidman coming in at under $1 million after being KHL Defenseman of the Year is pretty shrewd business. If he can't play, you bury him in the AHL or hope someone claims him. It's no real money against the cap. My biggest thing is they still need a center. Philip Deneau signed in LA at 6 years, $5.5 million, which we wish Phil the absolute best here. But now it leaves them with a gap. They need a center to eat up defensive minutes still. So I do not think the Montreal Canadiens are anywhere close to done with what they've done so far today.
Yes, I think that there's still some holes that need to be filled. And I'm anticipating, like you said, more moves. I do like these depth moves, to be honest. They're not anything to write home about, right? Like, I think that's the big thing here is that it's nothing special. It's like it's decent moves. And we know that Marc Bergevin is pretty good at bottom six signings and trades now. He's learned over time. So I feel like I don't trust his judgment very much right now in general, but I do think that I can, you know, you can say that Montreal knows what they're doing when they're signing depth. So far, it's been pretty successful in the last few years. So I'm not too worried about that. It's just that it's not like it's not finished. That's what it feels like. It feels like there's two major pieces missing, and they're going to eventually have to come and trade, because the free agents that we would have wanted them to sign to fill up that center hole and more offensive defensemen or puck moving defensemen, those people are not available on the market anymore.
And that's exactly it. Bergevin could say, yeah, we want to add a puck moving defenseman all we want. I want to drive a Ferrari to work, but guess what? I can't just do that out of the blue. I'm actually just kidding. The roads in Rochester are terrible. I would never drive a Ferrari to my store, or the one in Buffalo for that matter, because the Skyway is a death trap. The whole thing is you can wish and want, but eventually you have to do something about it. I'm looking at all these other teams making trades and making moves. They sooner or later have to do something. Do not get me wrong. I'm happy to see that they're going to give Mattias Norlander a shot and see what he can do in the NHL. And if he's not ready, they're sending him back to Sweden. No harm, no foul. But you can't just say, well, trades are hard, or it's hard to get these things. Yeah, no crap. That's why it's the NHL. Like, if it was easy to acquire puck moving defensemen, every team would acquire puck moving defensemen. And I'm very curious to see what the trade market might look like, because a lot of things have come out of nowhere. I know the Canadians have been linked to Christian Dvorak. They've been linked to Jack Eichel. We don't know if Eric Staal's coming back. We don't know if Corey Perry's coming back. There's still so many things up in the air right now that I'm not sure what Montreal is going to do. Are they going to try and get their RFAs, Lekkonen and Kotkaniemi, under contract and get that done and then make a trade? Are they going to make a trade and then deal with these things? There's so many options for what they can do. And I'm looking around the free agent market, and I'm seeing some names that I'm shocked or haven't been linked to anybody. Thomas Tatar. I didn't hear Thomas Tatar's name once today. I didn't hear him mentioned in rumors or rumblings, or I'm hearing and sources say nothing. Brandon Saad, nothing. There's still good pieces out there. I'm wondering if Bergevin's playing the long game here and hoping that someone that he was looking at is going to fall down in price a little bit and just kind of waiting to see that game. He did it with Corey Perry, and that turned out great for him. It wouldn't be the first time he's done a move like that. Tyler Toffoli came in under contract because Jim Benning, quite frankly, is an idiot. There's so many options. I don't envy the task with this, especially with everything that's going on that is of their own making. But at the same time, you do have to put together a winning hockey team here. You still need another center, and you do need another puck moving top four defenseman right now. Jeff Petrie's great, but like you said in earlier segments, when you ask him to do all of Shea Weber's tasks, eventually it kind of wears down on a guy when he doesn't have the support that he needs. I think Savard will help, but I do not think he is going to fully solve everything the Canadians are, or everything that the Canadians need out of their defense right now.
I think the fans in general, and some of it are people that we talk to often, like Mike O'Brien or our friend Ian. I think that we're underwhelmed. And I think that we would have been underwhelmed with this offseason, even if we weren't mad at that front office right now. I think we would say, you know, after that massive cup final run that they did, you know, you would think that they'd make a splash, because right now, when you're looking at the division next year, it's going to be so tough for the Canadians. They're going to really, really need to, everything needs to go right for them, and something needs to go wrong for at least one other team in order for them to be able to, you know, convincingly make the playoffs. I feel like they're going to be a bubble team, and I haven't seen anything that's going to change that. And I think the cup run doesn't change that. I think they all played really well, but now they're losing some major pieces. They're losing Philippe Deneau, who we wish a lot of luck in LA. They're losing Shea Weber, which is a huge, huge, huge loss. We know that Corey Perry was very effective, like maybe not on the score sheet, but in the locker room. And if he doesn't re-sign in Montreal, then you've got like a loss of that dynamic as well. Thomas Tatar, you can't discount him just because he didn't play that much in the cup run after the Toronto series. I still think that they're losing quite a bit that they have not fully replaced yet. I do like the moves that they've made. They're solid moves. They're good enough moves, but good enough is not going to get you into the playoffs. You need great moves right now. And teams like Florida, for example, Tampa is obviously a juggernaut, even with whoever they lost. Those teams, they're so, so good. So, you've got a shot only if things go wrong for teams like Boston and Florida and potentially Toronto. I don't know. And so this isn't going to get them over that edge. That's my concern here, is this is not going to get the Canadiens into the playoffs next year.
Yeah, I'm worried that if this is it, it might be a rough season. But at the same time, I do not think this is it. And there's obviously a lot more offseason left to go. This is day one of free agency. There is so much more to come, and we will cover every little bit of it as it comes. In the near future, we will be dropping back down to 3 episodes a week because it is our offseason, and we will do as best we can to cover all the news as every single episode that we can. Obviously, we might miss some things because of timing. But for right now, we want to thank you all so much for listening. We will have plenty more to talk about in our mailbag tomorrow. So if you have any questions, hit us up at @LO_Canadians on Twitter or LockedOnCanadians@gmail.com. You can follow myself at Scott Matla. You can follow Laura at The Active Stick, and you should be doing that. She's the best. And if you really enjoyed this show, make sure you're tuning in for the live NBA draft show, where NBA draft goat Chad Ford, Locked On NBA draft host Rafael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Corrales will be live this year covering the NBA draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick and follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch our live coverage on July 29th at 7 p.m.